Death. The 23rd chapter of the devotional classic, The Imitation of Christ, by Thomas A. Kempis, is entitled Thoughts on Death. You might be thinking, really? Are we going there now? Well, uncomfortable as it may seem, death is one of the few things we can be 100% sure of in this life, other than taxes, of course. Some of what Thomas A. Kempis says in that book is rather sobering. But when you think about it for a while, it's also liberating. The point he makes about death is that none of us knows the day or the hour when we will leave this life and go to one of three destinations: heaven, hell, or purgatory. Here's what the author says. If you had a good conscience, you would not fear death very much. It is better to avoid sin than to fear death. If you are not prepared today, how will you be prepared tomorrow? Tomorrow is an uncertain day. How do you know you'll have a tomorrow? Consequently, we should prepare ourselves and, as he says, live every day, every hour, as though it was going to be our last. But what exactly does that mean? St. Ignatius of Loyola delineates three modes for discerning what God's will is in a situation where we have to choose between two seemingly beneficial options. And he has some sound advice for making such decisions. He encourages us to ask three questions of ourselves. First, what would I advise someone else to do if they were in my position? Second, on my deathbed, what will I wish I had done? What decision will I wish I had made? And lastly, when I come before the Lord after my death, what decision will I wish to have made during my life? And we can apply that wisdom to our approach to living out our daily lives too. But we shouldn't be driven by fear of punishment. We should be driven by love. When we experience Jesus as an intimate friend, as a healer, as a source of our joy, our comfort, and our consolation, we don't want to do anything that will rupture that relationship. That's exactly what sin does. It breaks the relationship with someone we love, namely God. Of course, we can always repent and repair the damage that we have caused, but when you consider that we don't know when we will shuffle off this mortal coil, will we have enough time to repent? Isn't it much better to lead a life that is pleasing to the Lord? That does not, of course, mean that going through life terrified to make any mistakes and becoming so circumspect that we are paralysed. Leading a good life is more about pursuing virtue, doing good and loving God and our neighbour, rather than simply avoiding sin. In fact, as St. Peter tells us in his first epistle, chapter 4, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. If we concentrate on showing love, then we have nothing to fear. And again, St. John's first epistle, chapter 4, we read, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. Many times in the Gospels, Jesus tells his disciples, do not be afraid. You'll notice, however, that he never says that to the Pharisees. And that's not because his disciples were perfect. Far from it. It was because the disciples were friends of Jesus. They loved him and were being trained in how to live a life of love. For them, perfect love, in other words, Jesus, drove fear out of them. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were pursuing a life of adherence to the letter of the law. Their religion was based on fear of punishment, not on love. This is the good news that Jesus came to bring. He didn't come to condemn us, but to save us. And to those of us who are his followers and are learning how to love him and those around us, he says, do not be afraid. St. Thomas Aquinas talks about servile fear and filial fear. Servile fear is like that of a slave towards a master, where the slave fears punishment because the master has power over him. Filial fear is like that of a son or a daughter to a father and is based on love. In other words, filial fear can be said to be based on a fear of somehow spoiling the loving relationship by committing some offence against the beloved object. St. Catherine of Siena speaks about three different levels of perfection on the road to holiness. At the beginning, a relationship to God may be based on fear of punishment, what she calls slavish fear. As we progress, a relationship may change to mercenary love, where we love God because we expect to be rewarded. And lastly, when we develop filial love, we love God for his own sake. We love him as a very dear friend, as the beloved. And it is in that third phase that we are perfected in love, and our love can drive out all fear. Going back to Thomas à Kempis, we find that he lays great weight on the possibility of punishment for having lived a life that is unworthy of the Lord, a sinful life devoted to worldly pursuits, comfort, and self-interest. There will be a reckoning for those who have lived a life like that, he says, when we will be weighed in the balance and found wanting. However, in a sense, being weighed in the balance can also be a good thing, because it will not just be our faults and sins that will be taken into account, but also the degree to which we loved. Our good deeds will also be assessed against our sins, and we can be sure that not only is God just and equitable, but he is also merciful and will reward us to the degree that we have loved in our earthly life. And God's mercy is not a right that we have. In fact, as we know, all of us since Adam and Eve onwards deserve eternal death for our sins. God's mercy has been won for us by Jesus dying on the cross. It is only through his merits that we can trust in God's mercy. At the beginning of 2 Corinthians 6, St. Paul asks us not to waste this precious gift of salvation. As God's co-workers, we urge you, he says, not to receive God's grace in vain. For, he says, in the time of my favour I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour, now is the day of salvation. And Jesus talks about the urgency of leading a life that will mean we go to heaven when we die and not wasting the time that we have. Here's what he says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God.'" Let's not waste the time that has been given to us here on earth. We have no idea how long we will have, so let's love one another, including our enemies, so that in the end we will be welcomed into our heavenly reward. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have given us an example of love that we can follow. Give us the grace to lead lives of virtue and charity, so that we can fulfil the commandment to love you and also our neighbour as ourselves. And when we come to the day of our judgment, overlook our sins and let us be worthy to stand before you without fear of condemnation. Amen.